The following is an encore episode of Hour 2 of the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. We hope you enjoy. Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Hello and welcome back to Archangel Radio and the Turley Frequency with me, your host, Kevin Turley, coming to you live from London, all across southern Alabama, throughout the Archdiocese of Mobile. We are broadcasting to you on AM and FM. We're also streaming and on our mobile app. We are everywhere and anywhere. And where else will you get a program where you're talking about leprechauns 1 minute and the Divine Mercy the next? I can't think of very many places, but you're going to get it here. Okay, so we're going to change gears a little bit. We started on the rather somber note of Armistice Day, Veterans Day, remembering the war dead, and also this month of November when we remember the dead. And we continue with that now as we pray together the Divine Mercy Chaplet, this wonderful prayer, especially for people that have died and also for the dying. Let's not forget those that will die in this hour. Some people have said, well, why are you saying the Divine Mercy Chaplet at 9 a.m. when it's the 3 o'clock prayer and all the rest of it? Well, it's 3 o'clock here in London. It's just turned 3 o'clock here in London. And it seems very apt on Armistice Day, a day of remembrance, that on 3 o'clock that we turn to prayer and we turn to the Divine Mercy here on Archangel Radio. Now, before I introduce my prayer partners, I just want to remind you that we have an ongoing November dead list, okay? And we have a number of names added to it, and I've just added another name to it. I found out the other day that somebody who I've known for maybe 25 years died. She died quite young. She died of cancer. And she's one of those people that I kept bumping into in different parts of London. Let me explain a little bit. Her name was Catherine, and I met her at a prayer group. She had just become a Catholic. She'd been praying in front of a statue of Our Lady of Lourdes, and something had happened to her mystically, and she'd gone from, I think, atheism to Catholicism straight away. And she became a very, very fervent Catholic, daily mass goer. So I used to see her quite a lot in different churches in London, and she'd be praying, etc. And then she was a teacher, and all was well. And then I heard that she lost her job. She lost her job because she was asked to teach things. It was in a Catholic school. She was asked to teach things that in conscience she couldn't teach. So what did she do? She said goodbye. She left her job. And after that, she worked intermittently with pro-life charities. And in particular, do you remember the charity I mentioned the other day? Do you remember the woman who was saved outside the abortuary and had the child? Well, Catherine was one of those people who would stand outside that place and pray. So the last years of her life tended to be standing outside those centers of despair, offering hope and prayer to anybody who was coming past. She was a good woman, and she got cancer last year, I think it was, and went down very quick. So I'd like to remember Catherine in this prayer today as well. She was, in a very quiet way, she was quite a formidable witness to not just the faith, but also to life. That's Catherine. Mike, who have we got today as prayer partners?
Yes, we have B. Evans and Bob Kelly joining us in studio. Welcome, B, and welcome, Bob.
Thank you.
Thank you.
B and Bob, it's great to meet you both. I'm assuming that you're long-term radio veterans.
Yes.
Yes.
That's great. I'm glad somebody is in this place. That's great. B, if I could turn to you first. B, where are you from?
Originally from Colombia, South America.
Oh, wow. Brilliant. Colombia. That's amazing. Can I ask, in Colombia, do you also have many remembrances of the dead throughout November? Is that something very much part of the church in Colombia?
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Yeah. Is the Divine Mercy big in Colombia?
Yes, they do. They definitely.
Yeah, it's big everywhere, I think. Bob, where are you from?
I'm from Mobile, Alabama.
That's good. And with a name like Kelly, I'm assuming there's something of the old green sod somewhere in the background. Bob, have you left us already? You've gone.
We're just getting some technical problems out of the way.
don't worry, Bob. I was just commenting on you. You've got an Irish name, so I was just wondering if you had some connection with Ireland. That was all.
Yeah, my family is mostly from Ireland.
Wonderful. That's great. Well, we are going to say the Divine Mercy now, and turning to you, Bea, is there any, for this first, what I'll do, if you don't mind, Bob, is I'll let Bea go in the first decade, and then you can have the second decade. How about that?
That sounds good. Thank you.
All right.
That sounds fair.
Thanks.
Now, I hope you've both come with saddlebags bulging with intentions.
I definitely have a very big intention.
Let's have it, Bea.
I have a friend who is in the process of dying as we're speaking. So
okay.
For the repose of her soul and for the consolation of her husband and her two children.
And what's her name, Bea?
Her name is Marilyn.
Marilyn. Okay. We will very much keep Marilyn in prayer. Okay.
Thank you.
We may come back to you later, Bea, but I think Marilyn's prayers are very much needed for Marilyn at this time and for this journey that she's on. And this prayer is absolutely custom made for Marilyn. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, I do. I'm excited okay. to be able to do that for her.
Okay, so shall we begin?
Yes.
Okay, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. And then we say together three times, O blood and water
which
gushed forth from the heart of Jesus
as a fount of mercy for
us, I trust in
you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus
as a fountain of mercy
for us, I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus
as a fountain of mercy for us, I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, and was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Okay, so we'll now say the first decade. And B, we're saying this very much for Marilyn. And Marilyn, if you're listening, we are praying for you now. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, B. Now, for this second decade, I'm turning to Bob. Bob, do you have anyone or anything that you want to pray for?
I have a good friend that's going through some difficult times, and I like to say prayers for her.
Okay. What's her name, Bob? First name?
Terry.
Terry. Okay. Well, we'll very much pray for Terry in this decade, and we'll ask the Holy Spirit to come upon her, the Spirit, which is the Spirit of comfort, the consoler, the comforter, to help her at this time with whatever her difficulties are, and for her not to despair or become despondent, as this prayer reminds us, but to trust in the mercy of God. Okay, shall we begin, Bob?
Yes.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, B.
Thank you.
Now, for this third decade, I had a communication last night from a listener out of state. Yes, outside Alabama, who listens every day to this show, believe it or not. And she asked that her intentions be remembered. Her name is Michelle, and she asked that her family and all her many intentions, and she says she's got too many to recite, could be added into one of these decades. And we shall do that now. But before I do, again, I offer to anyone listening the opportunity for myself, B, Bob, Mike, Sherry, and everybody here at Archangel Radio, and the whole prayer family that's listening. We're offering them to you. Whatever it is that's on your mind, whatever difficulty you're going through, whatever problem you're facing, we're offering spiritual assistance. Now, this is Armistice Day, and I don't know about you, but I grew up watching war movies, right? John Wayne, and they'd always be asking for aerial support when they were in a pickle. Do you remember? When their backs were against the wall, they'd be asking for aerial support to sort out the bad guys. Well, we're aerial support for whatever it is you're facing. But we're not some sort of fictitious Hollywood aerial support. This is real. We are calling down God's divine mercy upon whatever the situation or whoever you wish to pray for. Now, listen, you're going to hear a lot of offers on radio throughout the day, offering you this and offering you that. For my money, this is one of the best, if not the best offer you're going to get all day. 888-928-0881, or text me. You don't even have to call in, and you don't even have to give a name. Just text in your request on 251-928-2111. Okay, so let's pray this decade for our out-of-state listener, Michelle. Okay, B and Bob?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Let's go. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much. Now, without any callers or messages, I'm going to turn to Mike. Mike,
hey,
you're getting all the prayers this week. So come on. Who do you now? Hey, now we've got Jen and the kids on the scoreboard already. Okay,
right.
And we're going to pray for Edith again and her intentions from yesterday, because your mother sounded so sweet on the telephone. But and Joy and Jim as well. We're praying for them.
Thanks.
So who else in Mike's corner are we going to be praying for today?
Yeah, I'm going to pray for my brother BC and his wife Ginny and their kids, and pray for my sister Ashley, who lives in Atlanta, Georgia. Pray that they will follow Christ, continue to serve them, Christ all the days of their lives, and to draw closer. That they will continue every day to draw closer to him.
So. That sounds great, Mike. You got to have some consolation for doing this show. Do you know what I mean? So at the very least, we can pray for you.
Thank you so much. I need all the prayers I can get.
I'm going to turn to Bob and B again. Now, you can have second goes on this, both of you. So is there anybody else? I mean, we've prayed for Terry, we've prayed for Marilyn, and we're still praying for them in each of these mysteries. Don't worry. But is there anybody else or anything else, B or Bob, that you would like to pray for in this mystery?
I would love to pray for my three children, that they come back into the church, and that God will watch over them, protect them, and keep them safe, and also for my brothers and sisters and their families.
That's wonderful. We'll do that, B. What about you, Bob?
I want to pray for all my brothers. I have four of them, Tommy, Billy, Michael, and Danny.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to pray for my daughter-in-law has some medical problems that I like to see the Lord, that she can overcome them.
Absolutely. Okay, listen, I think this is great. This is a full plate load, as we say. Shall we pray?
Yes.
Let's go. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and all the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Now, this is our final decade of this Divine Mercy Chaplet, and we've had a message in. And it says the following: please add to the chaplet prayers Michael, living with severe chronic pain due to a degenerative bone disorder. We will definitely pray for Michael. We ask you, Lord, that you relieve that pain, that you comfort him in this hour of suffering that he's going through during this great hour of mercy, this 3 o'clock prayer. And we have another message that's also asking for prayers for the Davis family. And we will definitely pray for the Davis family, wherever you are in Alabama. I presume you're in Alabama. We will be praying for you as well. Whatever the difficulties you're facing as a family, know that the Divine Mercy prayers are here for you to strengthen and help you at this time. Now, as it's November, we are also praying for the dead, the dearly beloved. And this is an opportunity for people to pray for anybody they've lost, not just the recently departed, though obviously they're at the forefront of our prayer in a sense, but anybody who's lost loved ones, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, or unfortunately their own children, brothers, sisters, whoever it is, we can pray for them during this hour. And we've got a sort of running list of people that we will pray for throughout the month of November. This prayer is specifically for the dying, and we're now using it in this month of November specifically for the dead as well. Okay, so at the moment on the November dead list, we've got Billy Langford, we've got Aaron, we've got Finn Baylock, we've got Albert Reynolds, we've got Jan Reynolds, we've got Jude, who I remember was only 21 when he died, we've got Margie, we've got Humberto, we've got Ellen's grandparents and lineage, we've got Mary and Thomas, Catherine and William, all related to Ellen, and we have Barry, who's one of the ones added I think yesterday, and now we've got Catherine, my friend Catherine Scott, who recently went to her eternal reward. And Bea and Bob, do you have any faithful departed that you would like to remember in this prayer?
Yes, please. For my sister Marilyn, for my sister Cece, for my parents, for my brother Maury, for my husband Jesse, and for those who have passed away.
Wow. That's a lot of people. We'll pray for all of them in this chaplet.
And also, there's one more we left out, Raquel.
Oh, right.
From yesterday,
That's right. Thank you, Mike.
Oh, you're welcome.
Raquel. I forgot about Raquel. Sorry. Raquel, you're on the list. And God didn't forget about you. Don't worry, even if I do. Bob, anybody faithful departed that you'd like to pray for in this?
My mom and dad and my grandparents, and I have a lot of aunts and uncles that have been deceased, so pray for all of them.
Yeah, we pray for them all. Mike, is there anybody that you'd like to add that's departed?
I'm going to say...
I pray for my
grandparents. Sorry, I was just trying to get the text. No, it's okay. I was just trying to get the text in and for prayer intentions. But both sets of my grandparents on my mother's side and dad's side. My Teresa Romano and also Faye Thompson and George Thompson and Ben Charles Romano was my grandfather on my dad's side. So
okay, so I think today, given that it's Armistice Day as well, I think we should remember that grandparents, great grandparents, generations who had to suffer through two world wars. So we'll remember everybody, Bob, B, Mike, everybody connected with the station, everybody praying with us now. We're praying for your grandparents, your great grandparents, the people who had to live through those two world wars. And with it being Veterans Day, we're also praying for all those who lost their lives in those conflicts. That the mercy of God will be shown to them. And we've just had another message in, which is that John called asking for prayers for Dan, who's going into surgery right now, right at this moment. So, John, be assured of our prayers for Dan at this moment. We pray for the surgeons that will operate on Dan, for the theater technicians who will look after him and care for him at this very, very traumatic moment. We will be praying for him now, asking for God's mercy for him as he's operated on. So Looking at the November dead list and thinking about this day and the dead, let us pray together. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May their souls and the souls of all the faithful departed through the mercy of God
rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. Okay. So let's say this final decade together. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And now we say three times together, Holy God.
Holy
Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O my Jesus, I trust in thee. O my Jesus, I trust in thee. O my Jesus, I trust in thee. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Bob and B, thank you so much. Do come again.
Hey, thank you, Bob, and thank you, B. Really quickly, when we come back from the break, let's get Jenny Carr's intention. So we got 10 seconds. We'll get to you after the break, Jenny. So hold on, hold that line. Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, welcome back to the Turley Frequency here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. And I'm your host, Kevin Turley, coming to you live from London. Yes, London, England. Can you believe it? Anyway, we're here now. Mike, we have a caller, I believe.
Yes, before the break, I'm sorry. I know you wanted to potentially roll this into Monday, but I wanted to get her in really quickly because I'm trying to, you know, operate the board here and the calls are coming in.
Sure.
It's silent when they call, so I'm sorry I missed your call there earlier, Jenny. So I'm trying to also communicate with Kevin, so I apologize. Jenny, you are on the line with Kevin Turley. Please give us your prayer intention.
Thank you, Mike. Good morning, Kevin. I've been enjoying
the
show all week, so thank you. I'm excited to be on air today. My intention, I've got actually two kids this weekend celebrating birthdays. My daughter is 18 today, and my son is going to be 20 on Sunday. And then I have my third child, who's the lucky summer birthday. But I just wanted to offer up some intentions for all three of them. These are just tough times that they're navigating through right now in the world. And just want to ask for everybody's prayers for them.
You will. Well, Jenny, would you mind if we pray for them on Monday? A special decade for you and these intentions on Monday? Because then we'll have the whole prayer family together on air praying for them. How about that?
That would be wonderful.
Now, you can phone in again on Monday if you want. I'd love to hear from you. Why don't you do that? Why don't you phone in on Monday? And we'll pray for all your children, absolutely. But I want you to think about some other people we could pray for, especially any faithful departed. And if you bring a whole sack of these people to us on Monday, we'll pray for everybody on the first decade Monday morning. How about that?
I can do that.
You sure? You got the time to do it on Monday?
Oh, absolutely. Always have the time for prayer.
And then you can tell everybody that you're asking for prayers for to tune in, because they're going to get a shed load of prayers on Monday morning. How about that?
Okay, that sounds wonderful. It's a great way to start the week.
Where are you phoning from, Jenny?
Well, I'm at my office in Foley, Alabama, but I live in Fairhope.
Fairhope. That's wonderful. And are you an Archangel Radio fan? You listen every day?
Yes, I do. I'm kind of a groupie. I stop by as often as I can, and I've been lucky enough to be able to do some advertisements for my business on the radio station. So it's been a big blessing to me.
Listen, you're the type of listener we want, somebody who knows the value of Catholic
media. She's our
media.
Biggest fan. She's the biggest groupie there is. You know,
I'm not really so sure about the word groupie. I think that you're part of this mission as much as anybody, Jenny, because as I said on my first broadcast on air, I said a radio show without listeners is a very silly proposition. So it takes two to tango, and we need you as much as you need us.
Oh, always, always. Yes, no, I'm just huge, huge follower, always happy. My parents actually were very involved in Catholic radio where they're from as well. So I was happy to kind of carry on and have that same passion. So.
That's fantastic. Well, look, Jenny, I look forward to continuing this conversation on Monday.
Okay, I will call in then. Have a great weekend.
But on one condition, Jenny, that there is an absolute list, as long as a laundry list of intentions and people that we can pray for, okay?
Okay, I will start working on that.
Great. Okay, listen, speak to you Monday. Thanks for calling in.
I will, okay.
Ah, isn't it great to have callers, Mike?
It's wonderful. That's what makes the show. The listeners, you know, calling in with their intentions and knowing that God's up there answering those intentions and only his way. And we're just trying to do his work, create this and creating this masterpiece together. So, blessed.
Yeah. And it's also, I mean, it's just to get the word out that we are literally, we've got no angle other than we want to pray for you. That's what it is. And if you've got, you know, if you're sitting at home with something that's really a burden, a weight upon your shoulders, or you know somebody who's suffering through illness or financial difficulties or work related or whatever, we can at least pray for them. Okay? Situations may be dire, but they're never hopeless, not for Christians. Now, today is Armistice Day, Veterans Day, and I'd like to tell you the story of Father Willie Doyle, the forgotten war hero. Well, he was forgotten until recently. You got to stick around for the ending on this. Mike, shall we go story time?
Let's do story time. Absolutely. I'm always up for a good story. As I was saying in my my e-blast that goes out to all of our listeners this week, I was talking about the show, Kevin, and I was just saying how, as an audiobook narrator myself, you know, I love listening to great storytellers, and I was just telling them that you are one of, if not the best storyteller I have ever had the opportunity to listen to, and I'm so blessed and so grateful, Kevin, that you are doing this show and telling these amazing stories. So.
Well, it's very kind of you to say that, Mike, and at least you're listening, if nobody else is.
you have a lot more than you know.
Now, listen, this story is about an Irishman. And before I start it, I'd just like to say that the Irish have a word for storyteller, and it's Danachy. And it's a very much a tradition. So if I have been gifted by the good Lord to communicate these stories to you, it's for a reason. These are not just good yarns. They're also to help you, encourage you, and embolden you in your faith, because these are the people that have gone before us. These stories are true, and for my money, they're better than any Hollywood fiction. Okay. So, in an unmarked grave in the now silent fields of Flanders lies the body of an Irish priest. Like so many caught up in the conflict that came to be known as the Great War, or I think in the United States, the First World War, this man was buried where he fell, without marker or tombstone. Just one more casualty among the many millions that lost their lives in that conflict. And that should have been the end of the matter. It proved not to be the case, however. If after his death, the private papers of this priest, which he had asked to be buried, had lain undisturbed, then almost certainly he would have been forgotten by all those around him, except perhaps his closest family. Instead, the discovery and a subsequent publication of a biography in 1920 caused astonishment. So who was he? His name was Willie Doyle. And he was born into a well-to-do Catholic family on March 3rd, 1873. His upbringing on the outskirts of Dublin was outwardly idyllic, but also one charged with devout religious faith. From that Christian home, four of the seven children was to enter some form of religious life. After being educated in both Ireland and England, Willie Doyle entered the Society of Jesus, the Jesuits. And after many long years of study, he was ordained in 1907 and assigned to what was known as the Jesuit Mission. This was a group of priests who went from parish to parish throughout the British Isles. And they would preach, they would hear confessions. From the start, Father Willie excelled as both a preacher and a confessor. And the crowds flocked to hear him, with many being converted to a new way of life. It was only after his death that the secret of his success was revealed. Penance. His penance. You see, Father Willie appeared at the start of the 20th century like some Irish monk of the Middle Ages. He had night watches throughout the night in front of the Blessed Sacrament. He had the frequent use of what was known as the discipline upon his body. He even immersed himself in cold lakes, or walked barefoot on nocturnal pilgrimages, all hidden from view, but importantly, all with the knowing approval of his spiritual director. Added to these personal penances was his less dramatic daily war on self. He wrote in his diaries the butter tragedy. Some days butter on his toast, others not. Just one small example of a constant spirit of mortification in everyday matters. It was to prove never-ending, and was combined with endless invocations in his waking hours, where eventually he became a kind of veritable litany of reparation and supplication to the mercy of God. The discovery of his papers that revealed this intrigued those who knew him. They had been unaware of the intensity of the life that he had led. To others, however, such practices appeared too extreme, too harsh. But what they didn't know, that at its center was no gloomy ascetic. Instead, here was a much loved, very affable priest who was constantly joking. It was their perceptions that were mistaken. Nevertheless, like those called to perfection, and that remains the case today for all baptized Catholics, Father Willie Doyle had understood what clay we were made from, and so was under no illusions. The battle for heaven was one that had to be fought to the death of self. Father Willie could not have foreseen that for him at least this combat was to reach its conclusion in a very real battle in the European conflict that was then threatening. In 1914, war broke out, and when it did, Father Willie Doyle volunteered immediately. He did so because he had a desire to serve. Hours spent in the confessional, he understood what his fellow men, like he, was made of. And with thousands dressed in khaki on their way to meet death at the front, he knew that someone had to be there with them, as this was to be the definitive hour for such souls, when all would be lost or gained, and for all eternity. And so, he made his way straight for the front. Soon after volunteering, and after a camp in England, he was assigned to the Royal Irish Fusiliers. And with them, he travelled on board ship before landing at France. From then on, this new chaplain was to be somebody different, because unlike the other officers in the regiment, he would march every mile alongside his soldiers, forgoing all the privileges that his officer rank offered him. In this regiment and in the later Irish battalions that he served, he saw these men not as enlisted men, but as his flock, and that he was no officer, but instead their shepherd. In the end, however, it was not just his ensuring that the sacraments were available as death stalked them, saying Holy Mass whenever and wherever he could, or even rushing through machine gun fire to get to the dying to anoint and give viaticum. Nor was it the hours spent at night ensuring that the dead had a Christian burial. It is said that he even buried them with his own bare hands on occasions, or his comforting the sick and the wounded, some so badly that they no longer had faces. Nor was it staying to the bitter end with one recruit prior to being executed for desertion, before later having the unenviable task of having to write to that man's family. Nor simply his good humor and ready smile throughout it all. No, these battle-hardened, if still fearful soldiers loved him for just being with them. With them through it all, often only partially aware of the mysterious presence mediated through this alter Christus, this other Christ, what all priests and what all baptized souls are to become. For his bravery, evident to all who served with him, as well as being mentioned in dispatches, Father Willie Doyle was awarded the Military Cross. It should have been the highest award for gallantry possible, which is known in the British services as the Victoria Cross, but that proved impossible for Willie Doyle, for he had a triple disqualification. He was Irish, he was Catholic, he was a Jesuit. Those in the military knew he had fallen foul of the politics of the time, but needless to say, it meant little to Father Willie, because his eyes were on an altogether different prize. Now, as if the dangers and privations of the front were not enough, throughout, he continued with his own inner war. Do you remember we talked about this endless war against self? Well, he continued to fight it, even at the front. When possible, in those flooded, fetid trenches, with the sounds of hell reverberating around him, that priest would spend hours on his knees with a pyx around his neck, adoring the Prince of Peace, while all the time offering up reparation for the sins of priests. Think about that. His letters home to his widowed father, which we still have, are both touching and inspiring because they reveal the strain of it all upon him. Something hidden from those around him, the people whom he served. For this was a sensitive man that felt every pain inflicted by war, both physical and mental. Nevertheless, to the last, he knew every minute counted, and that others were counting on him, engaged as he was in a very real battle for souls. And on that front, no quarter could ever be given by this priest. So on they marched, through the blood-stained fields, with names now synonymous with suffering, the Psalm, Passchendaele. Some of the experiences that he recounted are too hideous to imagine. The night the battalion walked over a field filled with fresh corpses, for example. Still, their padre, their priest, was with them, a reassuring presence regardless of the dark valleys they passed through, and one that brought them an unexpected peace. For like them too, he had been shot at, shelled and gassed, narrowly missing being killed on a number of occasions. His only rest, when possible, was in the same rat-infested sodden trenches as they lived in. Despite his brother officer's pleas, he held to his post, determined to be with his flock throughout. And yet, like the men around him, still clinging to the hope that somehow he might be allowed to survive the daily carnage. If all the while, living in constant readiness to offer his life as a sacrifice for the saving of just one whole soul. But it was not to be. And at last the hour of Holocaust came, the hour of offering of his life. It occurred on August 16th, 1917, during the seemingly never-ending Passchendaele offensive. Father Willie Doyle was to encounter death, the mysterious entry into another life in the full heat of battle. It was while dodging gunfire in the dreaded no man's land, whilst desperately trying to drag a wounded comrade back to safety, that Father Willie Doyle was blown to pieces by a German shell. Unlike the many to whom he had given a Christian burial, his remains were hastily interred in a makeshift communal plot, whilst all around the battle raged on. The sound of shells exploding against the night sky as the wounded and the maimed continued to cry out for someone, for anyone, to hasten to their aid was to be his only requiem. Now, with the guns long silenced, Father Willie Doyle lies waiting for a very different reveille to sound across those now stilled battlefields. And when he hears that call, he will rise to meet the true general he served and for whom he gave his life. And I wager this, that when he does, in the slain priest's train shall surely follow legions of his spiritual progeny, not least his fallen comrades, many of whom were saved by that final absolution just as the end drew near. You know, when the war ended, on the Western Front alone, the Western Front is Flanders and France, some estimate that as many as 40,000 military personnel were converted to the Catholic faith. 40,000. And the reason? Well, it was put down to the example shown by the Catholic chaplains, many of whom gave exemplary service during that war. Men such as Father Willie Doyle. When I first encountered Father Willie Doyle 20 years ago, he was a forgotten figure. I came across a reference to him in a book while in a monastery once. Never heard of him. I hunted around the monastery library and I found the biography from 1920. I read it almost in one sitting and I was astonished by it. And I said to myself, why is this man not better known? But more particularly, why is he not a saint? At that time, he was unknown in Ireland, forgotten by the Jesuit order he served in. And it was in those desolate Flanders fields that his immortal remains lay unrecognized in some communal plot. But it didn't matter to him. I knew that. What mattered to him was to hear those much desired and final, if not definitive, words. Come, you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren. And so it remained for many years. I had the great privilege of publishing a small book about Father Willie Doyle in the hope that it would encourage people to remember him, if not to pray to him, in the vain hope that somewhere somebody might pay attention to it. Well, people did. I found other people who had also stumbled upon the memory of Father Willie Doyle. But these things take time. So you can imagine my surprise when, just a few weeks ago, I was out walking one day. I was walking by a large field and my phone suddenly lit up and a friend from Ireland was phoning me. He was a priest friend. And he said, Kevin, can you keep a secret? He said, this conversation has to be in confidence. And I don't know about you, but when a priest starts a conversation like that, my heart sinks. Ask any canon lawyer, they'll tell you why. But he said, no, it's good news. And I said, tell me. He said, it's Father Willie. I said, what? He said, his cause is to be opened. I stood alone in that field, looking all around me. There was nothing, no one. And I was amazed. 20 years, 22 years I had waited and prayed that this would happen. The news was released 2 weeks ago officially, and on the 20th of November, this month, in a cathedral in Ireland, the cause of Father Willie Doyle will be opened formally by the Bishop of Meath. Father Willie Doyle will now be a servant of God. I can't help thinking of the joy and the happiness that this is going to bring to many in Ireland and beyond the Irish shores. But there was another part of me that felt justified. At last, justice had been given to Father Willie Doyle. At last, the world would know of this exemplary priest, this heroic man who laid his life down so that others could live, not in this world, but for eternity, that others would get that final absolution on the battlefront, that final viaticum as they lay dying, that final blessing before they went into battle. He was there for them, and now he is here for us, all of us in the church, in a special way, for the battles ahead, for the difficulties ahead. But like Father Willie, we engage those battles with a spirit of penance, a spirit of prayer, but the other characteristic that Father Willie had, a great spirit of joy. God may call us into battle, but he will give us the means to fight that war, as he gave this priest, Father Willie Doyle, the means to fight on the Western Front for a general that was worth fighting for, the only general that is worth fighting for. So, I can say without any hesitation, and you can too, Father Willie Doyle, servant of God, pray for us. You've been listening to me, Kevin Turley, here live on the Turley Frequency, which is coming to you on Archangel Radio. Thank you so much for your company this week. I've enjoyed it immensely meeting all of you on air. And I'm looking forward to being with you again next week, same time, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. here on Archangel Radio. Do get your prayer requests in, and do feel free to give me a call anytime you like. Until we meet again, may God bless you and your angels keep you. Bye-bye.